thanks for joining us today on Through the Bible as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, concludes our amazing study in the New Testament book of Hebrews. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and I'm joined by my friend and Through the Bible's President, Greg Harris. Welcome, Greg.
Thanks. Always good to be here, Steve.
And let me ask you, has your faith been strengthened by our time in this wonderful book of Hebrews?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just reading the book of Hebrews strengthens your faith, but to have Dr. McGee teach it the way he does is incredible.
Yeah. Greg, I thought it was appropriate to have you in the studio with me and let us share some letters from the Bible bus from people really just like us who've come to realize how wonderful Jesus is.
Steve, I know what you're referring to, and we were just saying before we started recording, this is one of our favorite testimonies or stories from Dr. McGee, and I actually dug up the actual words he used to describe this. He said the greatest compliment he ever received was from a country boy wearing high-buttoned yellow shoes. Sorry if I'm doing a bad Dr. McGee. And these are the exact words he said. After a morning service, he came to speak to me. He groped for words, then blurted out, "I never knew Jesus was so wonderful." He started to say more, but choked up and hurried out of the church. As I watched him stride across the field, I prayed, "Oh God, help me to always preach so that it can be said, I never knew Jesus was so wonderful."
That is such an encouraging story. I remember when he said that on the program.
Well, and I always love it when he articulates his sense of purpose and his sense of vision and the values. And Steve, we really use these things from Dr. McGee to guide our decisions.
Yeah.
And another thing, if you ever visit our office in Pasadena, we have his old pulpit from the Church of the Open Door, and it has a plate that only he could see so that every time he stepped up to preach in that church, it said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And I always connect that with this story.
Yeah, and I thought as he looked at the backside of that kid running through the field, thinking, may I always be able to do that? He had no idea that not only would you do it as long as you have breath in your lungs, but it will continue far beyond your death into languages that you probably could not even pronounce.
Exactly. And it's just how good and powerful God is.
One of those goes to, we think about India. Chattisgarhi, a listener there, said, "Before knowing Jesus Christ, I worshiped idols. I suffered from worries and hopelessness my whole life. Nothing helped me to come out of it. One day, a neighbor told me about Jesus and introduced me to your program. Oh, I never knew about him before. I believed on his name and was saved. Your programs helped me to understand God, and my faith became stronger. This motivated me to serve the Lord and to help other non-believers to know about Jesus Christ. Since then, I have gone to Bible training." And now I am serving the Lord as a pastor in my village and all the nearby villages. I am still listening to Through the Bible, and I also tell others about it too. I'm so thankful to God for my calling and also the program, which has helped me to develop my faith in the Lord. Kindly pray for my family and my ministry.
And Steve, it's an incredibly powerful letter, but one of the things that struck me that I just hadn't even really thought about until just now is that very rarely do we get letters that talk about Christianity from around the world.
Yeah.
People talk about Jesus Christ. I think there's another great one you've got.
This one's from Ethiopia. This is an Amharic listener. "I am a soldier assigned to the front. A local family invited me to dinner and to listen to your programs. It is there I heard the name of Jesus and accepted him as my Savior. My military friends and I need your prayers. Life is uncertain at the front. I try to tell them what I know before they enter eternity." "Pray for their willingness to listen to your program together." Talk about a life and death situation that some of us certainly in the military could understand, but the vast majority of us have no idea.
And once again, he's talking about Jesus. He's not talking about Christianity. Now, here's one from Manny in California that actually, there's an interesting juxtaposition of Christianity and Jesus here. He says, "I'm a security guard, and the nights are usually long and uneventful. A friend told me about your program, and I downloaded the app to listen while I work. I thought I was a Christian until I started studying the Word of God with you."
We've heard that before.
"Yes. I never knew so much about Jesus." He's not talking about Christianity. He's talking about Jesus.
Yep.
"He is so much more than I imagined. The first night, I called my wife and told her to download the app, too. Now we listen at the same time every night. If we have time while I'm at work, we text each other what we are learning."
Wow.
I mean, this is just too good to be true. I mean, it's awesome. "Of course, we have accepted Jesus as our Savior and have found a Bible-teaching church close to home. I'm so grateful for the awakening you've given us and your consistent teaching about Jesus. As the song goes, he's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me."
It's incredible, Greg. Let me pray as we open our study today. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have to be a part of glorifying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that he would be glorified in this program every time it goes out. And I pray that you would bless those listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, I reluctantly am going to leave the epistle to the Hebrews, though I do not feel that I have dealt with it adequately or completely, or maybe as it should have been dealt with. But I've attempted to do the thing that this epistle does, and that is exalt the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This epistle says he's superior to everything, and the writer here's writing to the Hebrews, everything that was in a God-given religion, Jesus Christ is superior to all of that. And now he sums it all up, and that was back in verse 8 of this last chapter of 13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we attempted last time to say something about that, that he is the same in his attributes, same in his attitude, same in his love, and same today in his person, and he'll never change. But he's not a babe in Bethlehem, and he's not going around through that land doing good. But he's right now at God's right hand, and he is Jesus Christ. He is human, but he's God. You see, he was very human when he was here. He got tired, sat down at a well, because he's tired. That's very human. But he said to the woman that came down to the well, I can give to you the water of life, and you'll never thirst again. No human being can say that. Only God can do that, friend. He was out on the little Sea of Galilee, and a storm came up, and he was asleep in the boat. Why? Again, he was weary. He was tired. He's human. But they waked him up, and he looked out over that sea, and he rebuked it, and the waves just flattened out. Why? Because he's God. He stood at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, a man that he loved, and he wept. And that's human to shed tears. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And friends, that's not human. Only God can do that. But he's wonderful in his humanity, as we said. We attempted to emphasize that. And I do that as we come here to this last part, that he today knows you, understands you, and he's our great high priest, and he's able to save us to the uttermost. Let me read a little something here. I have used this before, and I'm just going to give an excerpt from the little book of Dr. Scofield on the loveliness of Christ. And will you listen to this? First of all, as it seems to me, this loveliness of Christ consists in his perfect humanity. Am I understood? I do not now mean that he was a perfect human, but that he was perfectly human. In everything but our sins and our evil natures, he's one with us. He grew in stature and in grace. He labored and wept and prayed and loved. He was tempted in all points as we are, sin apart. With Thomas, we confess him Lord and God. We adore and revere him. But, beloved, there is no other who establishes with us such intimacy, who comes so close to these human hearts of ours. No one in the universe of whom we are so little afraid. He enters as simply and naturally into our 20th century lives as if he had been reared in the same street. How wonderful he is. He's the same yesterday, but he's the same today, and he's going to be that way on down through eternity. You see, it wasn't the person of Christ that turned man away. It was his teaching that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. They didn't like that kind of teaching, that he was going to die on the cross. And you remember, even though Simon Peter says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he also rebuked him even at that time and said, when he mentioned going and dying, he said, Far be that from thee, Lord. May I say to you, this one here, he was one that when men came in contact with him, they found grace and truth. They found sweetness and strength. They found meekness and majesty. They found light and love. He appealed to man. But when he died on the cross, that cross became an offense, and it still is. But Jesus is still attractive. And I think even the radicals today, and I know when they have in the riots up at Berkeley several years ago, one placard had on it this, Jesus, yes, church, no. May I say to you, that was certainly a condemnation of all of us Christians. We certainly are not representing him as he is. He's attractive, friends, and you ought to know him. Paul, who came to know him, even at the end of his life, found out that he wanted to know him better. He says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Now that I've retired, I'd like to say to you, my one ambition is to know him and to get out his word. I can't think of anything better than that to do today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let me then drop down where we left off last time. He says here, and maybe I ought to hit a few of these high points as I go along here, because there are several things that are very important as we move along in this particular section here. Let me read verse 10 again. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Now, that altar is not, as we indicated before, the Lord's Supper, as some people, I think, have mistakenly applied it. It is that altar that's in heaven today. We have a throne of grace that we can come to today. We don't have any altar down here at all. There's none for us down here, friends. And then we're told here in verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, burned without the camp. Now again, let me say, that was the sin offering. And the sin offering is depicted here. And that is what Christ died for, the fact you and I are sinners. Not only do we commit sin, we are sinners by nature. And he took our sin that he might give us a new nature. Now we are told here, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Now, he died outside the city. Why? Because he's a sin offering outside of the walls of the city. We are told here, let us go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now we are to go unto him. We are on the way now. We've been told to a heavenly Jerusalem. This is real separation. You know, separation today, the emphasis has been on from. We're separated from something. I don't do this, I don't do that. Separation is not from, it's unto. Paul said he was separated unto the gospel. Separated unto Christ, separated unto the Word of God. In fact, the word Hebrew, and he's writing to the Hebrews here, Hebrew is a word that means the one who crossed over. And Abraham was called a Hebrew. He came from the other side of the Euphrates River. And that means the old life is gone. And the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And that meant they're delivered from slavery. They are now redeemed, and there's a new life possible. Then they had to cross the Jordan, and then they lived in the promised land. They lived in Canaan, and the kind of a life that we should live down here. Now we're told we're to go to Jesus, and the Hebrews are told here that we're to go without the camp, bearing his reproach. These people hated to leave the temple and religion, and there are a lot of Christians today that are so wrapped up in churchianity, and think because they're members of a church, they're saved. And a great many folk today need to get away from ritual, need to get away from religion, and come to Christ, friends. Come to him. And that's real separation. And by the way, it's real salvation. Now he talks here about we're to go forth unto him. And he's talking now, as we move into verse 15, to the spiritual life of believers. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. We're priests today, and we can offer to God our own selves, as we've seen, that's in the 12th of Romans. And we can offer to God our gifts, and that's in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. And we can offer to God our praise, that's here, and then our performance of doing good, and that's verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And when you took that basket of fruit over to that dear lonely sick person, that old lady, that wonderful child of God, but everybody's forgotten her. You took that basket of fruit over. You were a priest offering a sacrifice to God, and it was well-pleasing to him. He took delight in you doing that. And I can't help but say this. When I was down flat on my back, great many people said, did you read all those letters? I read every one of them. You know why? Because every one of those was a sacrifice. There are many people that are lots worse off physically than I was. And they wrote me lovely letters. And may I say to you, many of them helped me in a tangible way. And I want to say, friends, I think that type of thing is a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. And that's what he's talking about here. Christianity, if it can't walk in shoe leather, it's no good at all. What we're trying to say here and to see here is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is up yonder right now at God's right hand. That's where the head of the church is, but his feet are down here, right where the rubber meets the road. And he wants Christianity today in shoe leather. He wants to get in shoe leather down here, and he'd like to walk in your shoes. Now, will you notice what he says? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Here we have this statement again. We had it in verse 7. The thought back of this is that if you have a pastor that is teaching the Word of God and not bawling you out, not criticizing you, but giving you what the Word of God says, then you're to obey not him, but you're to obey the Word of God as he gives it to you. Be best you didn't hear the Word of God if you're not going to obey it. Now, he says something else, and I love this. He says here, pray for us, verse 18. Pray for us. Evidently, the readers of this epistle knew the writer, and I think it was Paul. That little booklet's still available to anybody that'll write in now and ask for it. Was Paul the author of the epistle to the Hebrews? And I believe that he was. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. And it's wonderful to pillow your head at night and to have a good conscience. Now, a conscience that's enlightened by the Word of God. Now, a great many people that are not walking in the light. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we'll have fellowship with him. But if you and I say that we have fellowship and we walk in darkness, we're lying. John said that. I didn't say it. He said it. Now, will you notice verse 19? He says, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, that, again, makes me believe Paul wrote this. This epistle bears so many marks of the Apostle Paul. Apparently, he's in prison, and he's saying to these Hebrew Christians, I want to come back and be among you again. After all, he was a Hebrew, and he wanted to be among these people. And very frankly, as we've just seen, the word Hebrew, by the way, means the fellow who crossed over. And I wished all of us were Hebrews like that today. That is, cross over to Jesus. Come to him for new life, for new living, and new hope. How wonderful that would be. Now we come to the benediction. I've used this benediction, I'm confident, thousands of times. Verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make your hearts and mind perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, there are several things here that we should say something about. The Lord Jesus is called here the Great Shepherd. He's called, you remember back in Psalm 22, he's the Good Shepherd there. And he calls himself the Good Shepherd in John 10, verse 11, that he's the Good Shepherd of the sheep. And it's the Good Shepherd who dies for the sheep. He's the Good Shepherd. But he's the Great Shepherd of the sheep also. And he's the one who perfects the sheep. That is, he builds them up. And that is Psalm 23. He's the one who leads them by still waters and gets you to the grass where it's good and green and very tender, the Word of God, you see. And then over in 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, and he's coming someday as the chief shepherd. He died in the past as the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd today. He's coming someday as the chief shepherd, and he's going to come for his sheep. And if he started out at 100 sheep, you know how many sheep he's going to have with him in heaven? Not 99, no, 100. All of them are going to be there with him. Now, we're told here that he is the great shepherd of the sheep, and that through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, may I say this is very important to note here. His blood is the basis of every covenant God has ever made, and he makes you perfect. Now, here is the purpose, I guess, of Hebrews. We're told, let us go on unto perfection. Now, what does it mean? It means to maturation, that you be a full-grown child of God. It's marvelous to see a little baby win a blue ribbon. But if you come back in 20 years, and that little baby is still lying in the cradle saying, da, 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 something's wrong. But there are a lot of saints like that today, you see. God wants you to come to maturation, to grow up. Epistle to the Hebrews will help you do that. It's the reason we stayed in this epistle so long, you see. And it's through that blood of the everlasting covenant, he make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And what is the important thing for a child of God today? What is it? Well, it's to do his will, that he might work his will in your life, working in you that which is well-pleasing in whose sight? His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. But now that's the benediction. But notice how personal this is. This is Paul here. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I've written a letter unto you in few words. And I have to smile when Paul says he wrote this in few words. This, to my judgment, is a long letter. But Paul calls it few words. And notice what he says here. Know ye that our brother Timothy, and that sounds like Paul, is set at liberty. And apparently Timothy had been put in prison, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Now, the Bible I'm using today says at the bottom here, and it's not part of the text, written to the Hebrews from Italy by Timothy. May I say that is just some man's interpretation, like my little book is just an interpretation that Paul wrote. This man could be wrong. I could be wrong. Actually, both of us could be wrong. The important thing is, this is the epistle where the Holy Spirit wrote it, for he takes the things of Christ and he shows them unto us. That's important. And again, let me repeat it. I want you to have the little book about the authorship of this epistle. And as we said before, I wrote that when I was a senior in seminary. It's dogmatic, and it's written by a typical seminary student who thinks he knows everything. I don't know what's happened, but I seem to have forgotten all the wisdom I learned in the past. Now he says, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. So Paul's in prison in Italy. Now, he closes with this wonderful benediction, and I'm going to close with it, and I can't improve on it, and I can't interpret it because it interprets itself. Grace be with you all. Amen. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
What a fitting way to end the book of Hebrews. If you'd like to share what the Lord has taught you through these studies, we'd love to hear from you. So why don't you send us a note today at BibleBus@ttb.org or by mail to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. And you can always call us. We have folks on the line that'll answer your call 24 hours a day. It's 1-800-65-BIBLE. Tomorrow, the Bible Bus heads back to the Old Testament for our first lesson in Hosea. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll be saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it all to him.
Today's study is always available, free to stream or download, thanks to the generous and faithful investments from your fellow Bible Bus travelers. Go to ttb.org or download our app to listen again anytime. And remember, as always, we'd love to know, what's God teaching you?